Man, what is the secret that you have in Mario Kart? How are you unbeatable?
I can't give you that information, man. Otherwise, you're going to beat me. I can't give you that.
I try to get him.
Yeah, the only leverage I have on you, man.
Recorded on Zoom. It's the Diamond of Truth podcast.
What's up, guys?
What it do, baby?
DOT is here. We're back after a big video game week and Comic-Con's going on right now. And guys, before we get into this good gaming news, I just got to tell you all, I got to kind of vent, but kind of just celebrate. Like, I feel like I have a part of my soul back. I feel re-energized like right now because sports are back. I got NBA got going on. I got baseball. I got, you know, football talks. You know, then we got Comic-Con going on. We had a game display. I'm feeling good. Like, you know, when COVID hit, a lot of things just got canceled, got X'd out. There wasn't much stuff going on. But things are starting to get back, you know.
Yeah, I don't
know
about y'all. A lot changed.
Yeah. But we're back, you know. So just to see my man LeBron playing again with some gray in his beard. Dr. Fauci throwing the first pitch at the Nationals game. That thing couldn't have gone further away from the plate than he threw it. But he's a 78-year-old man, so I just give him a fact for being out there. You know, did you see Fauci's first pitch?
Yeah. Did you see the meme that was with it, though?
There was a meme on it?
Yeah, or someone just tweeted the video and was like, man, he really a good guy. He don't want nobody catching anything.
That's perfect, because that catcher would not be able to get that ball where he threw it.
Yeah.
But he came out there, threw it. And of course, the game couldn't get finished because I don't know why, but every day this week we've had a storm. And
oh, yeah.
It's been terrible, so the game got postponed in the sixth inning. But I digress. I'm just happy to have some sense of stuff back. And we had Microsoft show their game display this week, following Sony's about a few weeks ago for the PS5. So Xbox Series X showed off some games coming out. And there are a few highlights in there, some good games going on. I'm playing some in the back here. We're looking at Halo Infinite right now, which is coming out for – and I think the cool thing about these is that a lot of these games are coming out for Xbox One, too. So it's – they're not just all going straight to the new system.
To the new ones.
Right. They're going to PC as well and Xbox One and Xbox Series X. But, of course, they all displayed them on Xbox Series X. So Halo Infinite, they showed off a lot of games. We'll probably just talk about a few that stood out for us. But it was pretty assumed that they were going to start off with Halo, because you can't have an Xbox, a new Xbox without Halo. So
they were hyping it up before the presentation.
They were. And I think it leaked that they were going to start the show with it, because everybody pretty much was saying they were going to start with that. But when you look at it, man, Halo's one game that it always looks like Halo. It has the feel. It looks like a good game. They have some new elements now. Now, Vic, you're probably a better Halo expert than I am. They had this grappling hook. Is that new to this game, or is that something?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely new. I haven't played 5, but that's definitely – it gave me Dying Light vibes. Also, what's the other game with the grappling hook?
Titanfall.
What did Titanfall have on?
Wait, Titanfall?
Oh, I know. Apex
Legends. No. The what's that stupid game? Bulletstorm. There we go. The lash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The way that the chief uses it reminds me of both State. Not State of a game.
Where you can pull his stuff to him.
Yeah. Bulletstorm and Dying Light. Because you feel like Spider-Man when you have that leash.
Yeah, you can just flinging yourself. That's cool. You can use it to bring yourself closer. But that was cool how you use items to bring it to him. Kind of like a Metroid Samus type thing going on.
All right.
So that's going to be a cool element. Then, of course, I want to see how that works in multiplayer, because multiplayer is a big part of Halo. And they didn't show that off. There are all these rumors going around saying that multiplayer is not going to launch with the game, or, you know, the beta is going to happen or something with it. But, you know, we'll wait to hear something official from Microsoft on that front.
If it's included, I would expect it to have a cooldown, because if we had unlimited usage of that, that'd be utter chaos.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I remember when Halo 2 came out, and when that multiplayer came out, I think it was a rough like the first few weeks on Xbox Live. And but I can imagine that because and speaking of Xbox Live, Microsoft pulled their yearly subscriptions earlier this week. Like, you cannot buy a yearly subscription of Xbox Live.
Ooh, are they gonna make it free?
You would think that
they're trying to sell you a subscription though to their services.
So you're right, their Game Pass, which they did say all the games,
phasing it.
That makes sense to phase it out because not everybody's probably going to get an Xbox Series X, so they don't know. But if the Xbox Series X has a higher Xbox Live fee, would that be different from the regular Xbox One? But they are still selling their monthly one.
Gotcha. I feel like there's going to be a larger saturation in the player base if they continue on this path with their where they're trying to sell us a subscription that plays on multiple platforms.
That makes sense because a lot of people have multiple, especially Microsoft using Xbox and PC, mm-hmm. and having cross save in a lot of these games now, it makes sense to kind of merge them all into one.
Man, I'm just so happy that Microsoft is finally acknowledging that they are on the PC too. That's technically them.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And it's a shame it took them this long to really capitalize on that, because they have the PC game side and Xbox. So why not capitalize on both fronts?
Right.
Yep. That's actually what me and my coworker were talking about today while we were talking about the new consoles. He was saying it's like they're trying to, it's basically just a mini computer now, because a lot of people just use it for streaming like Netflix and all that.
Right.
So he said it looks like they're going to try and integrate everything.
Yeah. So
I feel like that's where the money's going to be at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to see a skyrocket in the sales once they do that. So Halo was the first game they showed off. Then they showed off some other games. I think State of Decay 3. I know you like State of Decay 2, Vic.
Yeah. But they didn't show any gameplay from that. So I don't know what they're going to do.
I didn't even know what it was when I first saw it. But it was just a cutscene of the girl with her crossbow. It looks different. I mean, State of Decay 2 looked like you were in a kind of rural area. But, you know, this one,
That game launched with bare bones. There is almost nothing to do but survive.
Yeah.
Then they gave us a whole bunch of free updates. Like, it's a completely different game now.
Really?
Yeah. I would venture back into it if you're interested.
Yeah, because I remember I got it when it was free. You let me know. I still downloaded it because it was a free game.
What? It was free?
I think it was free. I want to say it was one of their...
Yeah, I think it was
that has crossplay.
Yeah, because I remember the reason why I didn't play is because I couldn't get it to run on my PC.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't get Xbox Live to run with me because it's very... It's launched with the Xbox Live bugs where it wouldn't connect to the servers. So yeah. It was like, it was very broken.
I think that was the early stage of their the PC Xbox Live Companion.
Yes, that was the early stage. That was the same year they announced that they were going to start launching the Microsoft games on PC now, mm-hmm. through the Windows Store. But then see that the Windows Store, all their games are starting to show up on Steam too.
Yeah, because I think they said that's another thing my coworker said, something about Steam and Xbox. I was like, what?
That's weird too, because you would think Microsoft wouldn't want to put their
Master Chief Collection. I have that on Steam, loving it.
Wow. I think they learned that to get further ahead, they might have to, you know, play nice. Can't be like Sony.
Yeah, or Apple.
Yeah.
But so were any of the games that stuck out to you that you all saw? I mean, there was like
Grounded.
Grounded. Ah, yes, that was the bug one.
Yep, I like the concept. I love what's going on there, but I don't like how it plays into my phobia of bugs, man. That's some nightmare fueling crap right there, man. Yeah, I was like, hey, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Oh no, that means there's gonna be bugs. Then they showed the bugs, and they're realistic looking bugs. I'm like, come on, give us some cartoony bugs. I need a bug's life. Big ol' eyes, man. Big ol' eyes.
Add some Disney music right behind it, and you'd be good.
Exactly. I need my bugs to look all cuddly.
Yeah, these bugs are nothing but cuddly. They are attacking. They are like, you are in my territory. This ladybug is taking you down.
Yep. Nope.
Oh,
nope,
man.
Nope, nope.
What about you, Ken? You see anything you like?
Oh, you know, I always like my Fable.
Ah, yes. They did say that for the end.
So I didn't see if it's is it a remake, remaster, or what?
So it's just called Fable. So I'm thinking it's, you know, it's not gonna be Fable 4, because that's what we're on right now, I think.
They might be trying to reboot the whole game.
Yeah, I think it's a new game.
Yeah, I think it's a new game as well too. And whatever it is, I think it's gonna do well. They've had plenty of time to really revamp Fable, but I think the core element is still gonna be there, where you can pick a side.
Is Peter Molyneux still attached to it?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm not sure,
because he is the one who promised us the world with Fable, he didn't deliver a single promise.
That's true, and a lot of people were upset.
Yep.
But. There are some other games. Isaiah, were you able to get a chance to look at any of these games?
Oh, no. I missed that joint.
Man, well, the cool thing about some of these games that are on here are that, of course, they're all going to be on PC. And if you have a Game Pass, they are going to be available to play. So it's making me think, if I do, because I eventually will probably get an Xbox Series X, thinking about getting this Game Pass, what do y'all think about these? And I think we had a conversation kind of like this, but what do y'all think about the Game Passes?
I think it's a good thing, because, you know, some people don't. It's like Netflix, or not Netflix. Yeah, the old, earlier Netflix,
mm-hmm.
where you don't want to buy the movie, you just want to watch the movie.
Right.
Because my coworker was telling me about that. He said for a while they were doing like a little promo where you only pay $1 and you get it for however long you have Xbox Live.
Oh, see, that's a promo to get on. That's like satellite radio. They try to get you to buy it because they just want you to have it for cheap.
Mm-hmm. Then they get you hooked on, then you're stuck with it.
Exactly. Rare show their new game, Avowed. I was kind of hoping for a Banjo-Kazooie game, but, you know. But look pretty promising. They got some good games. So it'd be interesting to see what games actually come out at launch. You know, Halo probably will. But
yeah, definitely.
But if you were to put this one up against PlayStation's display, which one do you think has a better display, at PlayStation or Microsoft?
PlayStation.
Because
yeah. the thing with the Microsoft event, they showed us a lot of promises. You know, yeah. Not a lot of actual.
Yeah.
the what they're really trying to show us, they just showed us a bunch of trailers and they said, hey, this is coming. And, you know, we've been tricked. We've been lied to a lot as gamers.
Yeah, that's true.
So I've grown to be, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. That's
pretty much it. I need to see the game. I don't care about your hype machine. Because, I mean, come on, Anthem. If you guys remember Anthem.
Yes.
Holy crap.
That was supposed to be the next
game thing. At launch. I bought the Digital Deluxe. Paid $100 for that.
And that failed miserably.
They
hyped that up big at E3 one year. I remember that.
And they made that game essentially in the year before it launched.
Man, and so that's true. We need to believe it when we see it, and we don't want to be hoodwinked and bamboozled and led astray and run amok and all those fancy terms, because we've been let down too many times. So,
if Rare wants to catch my attention, Perfect Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Get me that Perfect Dark. I need Joanna Dark in my life again. I love her.
Classic, man. Rare has so many properties that they can do. And, you know, and that goes with a lot of these companies. They have a lot of properties that they know can be grand slams if they really want to. But, you know, they try to do new things. And speaking of new, you know, we got New Genesis here with Phantasy Star Online 2. It looked when it first came out, that was going to be like a reboot. Like, we were throwing out the idea of what they did with Final Fantasy 14. And then an article came out. I think everybody was asking that question. So people, Sega put out an article saying that, no, this is not going to be a reboot. It's not going to be an expansion or replacement. it's just going to be another standalone game. And but apparently you're not able to carry over your character, your level, your experience.
Oh, you're not?
No, it has its own separate creation tool.
Interesting.
And I mean, you'll still be able to play with each other, but it's like a whole, it's like an add-on, but it doesn't carry over what you did previously.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be an open field online RPGs. It's still going to be free, but they're redoing the graphics to make it look more modern because, you know, PSO2 is an old game technically.
Yeah.
So they're making
years old.
Right. So, but it was funny when I initially saw the trailer from the beginning, I knew it was Phantasy Star Online, even though it looked more updated. But it's interesting to see how that plays with people who've been playing the game for years or people like us who play it for like 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, technically, I played it way longer than that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You're one of the OGs on the game.
Yeah, I didn't feel like the grind anymore because I mean, it's like starting over. This is the third time I've started over.
Yeah,
because I had like 300 hours into that damn game, and I had to start over in the English server. I'm like, I don't feel like it.
Don't blame you at all, man. And but we'll see how they do this because when they just going back to doing it again and grinding over again, it was. I mean, what we did in the game felt like a lot, and now they want us to do it again. So I don't know what Sega's really going for there. It looks nice, but I don't know. Any closing statements like y'all want to say about this Xbox showcase?
Hopefully they deliver.
They better deliver. So we'll see. Well, when we come back, we're going to have an interview with my main man, Darren Bell, Coach JD. I'm sorry, Coach DJ. He's going to come and talk to us about some games and about what he's got going on. So when we come back, Coach DJ.
Sophie needs to go outside. Diamond of Truth will be right back.
All right, we're back in the Diamond of Truth podcast. We got a good friend of mine, my best man, my wedding. Man was so politeful to allow me to get married on his birthday too. My man, Darren Bell, Coach DJ, man. How you doing, man?
Doing well.
That's good. So I've known me and Debug go way back from high school days. And when we were coming up, that was when Vic Ken, we were playing like Final Fantasy XI all the time. And I used to tell Darren like how much Final Fantasy XI I was playing. And then I remember when I told you how many hours I had logged in the game. You just looked at me. I was like, yeah, man, we made so much progress in that game. And I'm not going to tell you how much progress I have in Monster Hunter. You probably will do the same thing. But that's a funny thing to think about because I want to ask you, what do you think the longest game you played in one setting is? Like, if you one game that you played and you were sitting down playing it, you just got hooked on it, you were into it. What's the longest you probably played in a game in one setting?
I want to say it's a toss-up between Kingdom Hearts 2 and then way back in the day, Dynasty Warriors 3.
Ah.
Me and my cousin put in so many hours on that game. It was just one of the most hyped games I ever played back in the day. But yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2 or Dynasty Warriors 3.
It's funny you say Dynasty Warriors because that's a series that's actually going on right now in a One Piece series right now too. They're doing their own, so and we're big One Piece fans too, so and Kingdom Hearts too. Yeah, I think the only way to really play that game is to kind of grind that game out too, because of how much, especially Kingdom Hearts 2, and we had a good time with that game. Not so much 3, but definitely 2. Did you finish that game? Man, I got to the first world and stopped. Vic actually got further. You got the Frozen, right?
I got to Elsa singing Let It Go, and I was done. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted from that game. I just wanted to see Elsa sing her song with Goofy, Sora, and Donald chasing her. You know, build that ice castle. That's all I wanted. And it was, I was happy. I'm satisfied with that game, honestly. I haven't progressed at all after that, but I'm good. I'm good.
Man. So, yeah, but yeah, we put a lot of hours for two. So what is your earliest memory of gaming, man? So, like, when I met you in high school, that was one of the things that really built our friendship. I mean, we were in the band together, so we definitely were musically inclined together. But what is your earliest memory you have of gaming?
So it started for me with the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Ooh, NES.
So way, way back. I just was lucky to have an uncle who was getting rid of his. So he just, I got a free system, you know? He just tossed it to me, played a few games, and I was just hooked from there, man. My parents had to rip the controller out of my hand, man.
I think that sounds familiar.
Yeah, the old
hammer. My own experience.
Man, y'all parents might have been best friends back in the day, then, man. You never know. Isaiah's told some great stories about his dad and some things, so he can definitely relate. Man, NES. So it's cool that Nintendo's, of course, bringing some of those games back on the Switch with their console, and of course they've done it many times with the Wii and stuff with the virtual console. So if you're going back to NES, you probably have a large library of Nintendo games. So do you have a favorite game, like any game, or maybe it's a Sony game, or just a favorite game that you've enjoyed of all time?
All time. Let's see. All time. It still comes to my mind today. A lot of the games that really stuck with me were games that helped me to connect with other people. And so, like, one game in particular was called Battletoads Double Dragon for the Sega Genesis. I don't know if you guys have ever played that game. And again, that was a game where just me and my cousin, we just racked up hours playing the same levels all the time. But we loved the art style, the music.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fun experience to have with him. So that's probably up there for number one.
And Battletoads was a good co-op game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cool thing about Battletoads, is it was one of the original, I mean, at the time they had a lot of side scroller co-op games, you know, and Battletoads was on a lot of different systems, but I remember that game. I mean, that's a good game. I like how you talked about bringing people together, because we always talk about on this podcast how some of our best times are playing games together in the same room. Right. And when you play online, of course, it's fun too, but it's not the same as sitting on the same couch with somebody next to you, or, you know, being in that same environment. And that's how this podcast got started years ago when we were friends, playing games together in the same room. So
Right. That's
cool when you can use a game like that to really go back in time and think about what brought you together with other people, especially family. So that's really deep, man. So all the systems that you've had, I know we've talked about different systems. What's your favorite system? Going back to NES, did you have SNES and the whole Nintendo clan?
So that's the only thing, man. I went from NES, skipped SNES, went straight to N64.
Hey, so same story.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, yeah. But it's so sad. There's so many good games I missed out on and never revisited. Like, I never had the chance to, other than maybe like Super Mario World.
Right.
Like, there's just that whole category of games I feel like I missed out on. So right. At some point, I got to take some time to touch those.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of gems.
There are. And SNES does have a lot of good games on there. And I was actually just reliving the game yesterday. I was playing Donkey Kong Country on the Switch, because it's on the online, one of their games now. And I remember playing that game on SNES back in the day and just reliving that side scroller playing Donkey Kong. And I forgot that game was even two player, that you could have someone be Donkey, someone could be Diddy. And once you gave the high five, you switched. But yeah, there are a lot of good SNES games out there. Metroid Prime and F-Zero. Of course, Mario Kart, I think, started on that system too. So speaking of Mario Kart, man, I think those two games currently right now that we play, I know we play a lot of Smash Bros, but I don't think I've beaten you on Mario Kart on Switch ever. I don't think. What is this? You affirmed it. What is the secret, man? What is the secret that you have in Mario Kart? How are you unbeatable?
I can't give you that information, man. Otherwise, you're going to beat me. I can't
give you that. I try to get him.
You're the only leverage I have on you, man.
Oh, man. What do they say? Real G's move in silence.
I will give you a hint. What I tend to do is I pick the characters that have the highest acceleration. Because I find that, especially for that game, you're doing there's a lot of turning that you're going to have to do. So the characters that have a lot of high top speed, you're not really going to reach that top speed that often because there aren't that many straightaways. So that's why you always see me picking Isabella and that cart that kind of boosts her acceleration up.
Mm-hmm.
And she has good handling too. So I'm literally cutting the corners and then taking off. So I think that's kind of what helps me out a lot. And then on top of that, just knowing when to boost.
Ah.
If you remember in Mario Kart DS, that if you were a true pro, you were boosting 24/7. You were working the D-pad.
Right.
You knew what you were doing, right? So that kind of carries over into this too.
All right, so Isabella's got the accelerations that my man Wario probably just don't have, man. He's probably held back.
Problem for this game, man.
Wario ate too many cheeseburgers, man. We're talking to Darren Bell, aka my man Coach DJ. So underrated game you played. So you played some classic gems. You talked about what is an underrated game you played that you think that you really enjoy, but didn't get a lot of play or a lot of fame, like a game you really love, but it wasn't the number one on any Nintendo Power magazine or any website that I had or something like that. What's an underrated game that you really enjoyed?
For some reason, I feel like you know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. The World Ends With You.
Ah, Square Enix. Yeah. That's a good game.
Have you played that yet?
Man, you've been telling me about that game for years, man. I still haven't even gotten to that game.
Well, I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, there was a final remix that came out.
Yes.
Not too long ago. That's definitely an option. I don't know. That game, the art style, not so much the gameplay. The gameplay was okay, to be honest, okay to, you know, pretty good. But really the drew me in was the art style and the music. It was just like, oh man, next level.
Yeah. And that's one thing I really appreciate when I talk about games with you. You don't just talk about the gameplay. You enjoy everything about the game, the art, because you're an artist and you're also a very good artist too at that. And a musician as well. So you listen to the music. You listen to everything that makes the game what it is. So, and you really kind of taught me more about that. Like, I didn't realize how great Donkey Kong Country 2 soundtrack was until you put me on some of those songs. And like my man there, he will be, if I was in his car, this man has playlists of certain game songs. And but I love that because I'm like, yo, that came from that game. I played that game, but never listened to it. So you put me so much good music that you enjoy that comes right from games.
It's true, man. That's all I listen to nowadays. It's game music. It's crazy.
I don't blame you, man, because some of the greatest compositions are made. I mean, we talk about Final Fantasy all the time. Some of our greatest experiences are just sitting in one zone in 11 listening to music. And so music is a very important part to games. So that's really cool. So one thing that I've also learned from you in the gaming career and game, just talking game with you, that I didn't know how big people were into watching people play games online. Like, you know, I know it's a big business now with Twitch and so on, but you would tell me about this years ago before I even knew what Twitch was. And I think Twitch came out, you would watch people play. It was funny. I'm asking you to get this game. You're like, nah, I'm just going to watch somebody play it online. Yeah. Like, what? But it makes sense. Cause I've been doing it too. Cause but with that being said, have you ever thought about doing like a Twitch channel or doing something where you stream playing games?
Yeah, it's still on the agenda. I have to literally, you know, just plan it out and execute. That's my biggest issue. And I know we've been in contact about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, like collabing or whatever. But yeah, that's definitely something I want to do. I'm actually, before I got on call, I was watching one from a dude in Canada called Wooly Versus.
Yeah.
He's actually playing Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door.
Oh, wow.
The old GameCube game.
Yeah. that's the one you like, right, Vic?
Yes. And the N64 one.
And, yeah.
The OG.
The OG. Yeah. Those are good ones. And
yeah. So to answer your question, it's just a timing thing. I literally just have to sit there and just do it.
Right. And that's and with the Twitch channel, we were talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago about that, about starting one. And one of the advice he was giving was just, I think, just starting it and just being consistent with it and not worrying about the numbers and just keep doing it. And exactly. We talked about it. So it'll happen. And because I think we have something we can definitely share in our gaming experience. And I think it'll be fun to do, especially those games that you like playing.
Most stuff.
So tell us about what you're doing, man, with your business and karate and with your fitness. What you got going on, man?
Yeah, so I got two separate things at the moment. I've got karate, which I'm teaching, you know, going online primarily due to COVID. And that is with Kaizen Karate. We teach students of all ages, I think starting from 3 going all the way up to adults. And if you want more information on that, the website would be KaizenFitnessUSA.com. And Kaizen is spelled K-A-I-Z-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also do personal training. So I train people if you're trying to lose some weight, you want to do some strength training, anything like that. The website would be CoachDJFitness.com.
That's what's up, man. He is an excellent trainer. He trains me and seeing results. So that is definitely definitely a number one coach that I've worked with. So definitely appreciate that, man. Well, I hope one day when this is over, or when we can, man, we can go back on the court and I can school you in some one-on-one too. Cause you know, I've gotten the last couple games in there too. So you got some catching up to do there, man.
By that time, you're going to be dunking on me, man.
Yeah. Thanks for being on with us, man. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right, bro.
Peace.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you.
Peace.
Don't be a square. Back to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
All right, we're back. Diamond of Truth podcast. Want to thank Darren Bell, Coach DJ, for joining us, giving us some insight on some fitness. So make sure you follow him if you want to get some good training. He's really a good coach, really insightful information and things that he's talked about. It's good catching up with him. So we were talking earlier how this was a big news week. So, and in that news week, we had some more movie news. You know, the last few weeks we've been talking about Monster Hunter, their movie drama. Now that movie's pushed all the way to April, or maybe just not happening at all. Who cares really at this point? But but actors and actresses have been putting out some, I guess, their different dream roles. And Brie Larson, Captain Marvel herself, came out and said that she would like to play Samus in a Metroid movie. And apparently she was Samus for Halloween a year or two ago. So I think that was kind of an inspiration for her, but she would like to play Samus. But what's that, Vic? You said Nintendo doesn't allow people to make movies off their franchises?
I mean, they're very cautious about letting their IP out anymore to, you know, to other people to create content on their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have the Super Mario Brothers. No, not Super Mario's. What's the Super Mario's? Do they call it that?
I know it was definitely Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were quite super.
If you were to look at that movie as not a Super Mario's movie, it was actually pretty decent.
I think I'm going to rewatch that over the weekend just for fun, just to really, because I don't think I gave it a fair chance. I think I saw it as a kid and just put my head away because it didn't look like Mario to me. So
man, when I saw it as a kid, I loved that movie. That was one of my movies that I bought the VHS from Kmart. And I watched that sucker over and over again. You know, me, my sister, and my friends, we'd always do that stupid little the hand thing with like glug 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 glug.
That's how you know the age of that Kmart.
Yo, Kmart, there's only two stores in Alaska, Kmart and Fred Meyer's. So or if you were lucky enough, you went to the mall and went to KB Toys.
Ooh, now you're going back there. Oh, good old KB Toys, man.
Yeah, you had three places to go in Alaska for stuff like this. I mean, not Alaska, Juneau, Alaska. That's because that's where I was at.
Hey, slim pickings out there, but at least you had a couple to go to.
Right? You know what they call our mall? They call it the Nugget Hall.
What?
The Nugget Hall.
It's not a mall, it's a hall. Our public library was in one of our malls. Attached to a supermarket, Super Bear.
Everything is place, one place.
Place the library in the middle of all the distractions.
Got no study.
That's how they find the people who are dedicated.
Yeah, if you can study through all this, you'll be good. Oh wow! So yeah, it was a Super Mario Brothers film, and wow, I forgot. Yeah, John Leguizamo, really great actor too.
Yeah, they actually had really good talent in that movie.
They did. But it's funny that they won't allow them to make certain. So, but what about the Pokemon movies? Like when they do those movies, it's like I feel like Pokemon's just such a big franchise for them to make anything with that they'll let.
Well, you got to remember with the Pokemon movie, like what was the recent one with the Mewtwo and Detective Pikachu. Yeah. So Pokemon is not just Nintendo. It's a Pokemon company is comprised of Nintendo, Game Freak, and I want to say there's another entity, but maybe not. Maybe it's just Game Freak and Nintendo. So it's not entirely up to Nintendo when it comes to Pokemon licensing.
Oh, that makes sense. So other people have a say for Pokemon, but when it comes to like Mario and Link or Zelda, I should say, and Samus. Yeah,
they were not happy with with the Mario movie because the directors went in a whole different direction than what they were looking at. It was a lot darker and grittier than they wanted it to be.
Right. Well, maybe Capcom said the same exact thing about Monster Hunter, and that's why it's being pushed. Maybe they're not pleased with their above average height monsters and Twin Blades.
Twin Blades, man. At least get the name right. Dual Blades, man.
Oh wow. But we'll see what happens with that. We know it probably won't go anywhere. But at least Brie Larson, I think she would make a good Samus though. I think she would.
I think so too. She looks like she would fit the part well.
Yeah. She could. I think she could do Samus well. Right. Good to see her in Metroid suit and Zero Samus suit. So that'll be pretty cool too.
Yes.
But also that came out, I think this today at Comic-Con going on, G4, old school G4 TV is making a comeback, coming back as a web, based entity. It's still owned by Comcast. But they're going to come back.
Going to be the same host
that people are trying to figure out that they're going to have
Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler.
Yeah. The old X-Play show and attack of the show. Right. And
that was a separate show. That was Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn.
Right, yeah. That's right. So
those are separate shows because Attack on the Show is more like a live talk show,
mm-hmm.
where they did it was almost like a Japanese game show host. Like they did stupid crap all the time on there, right. While also talking about world news related to tech and video games and entertainment. You know. But then X-Play was completely focused. It was a pre-recorded show. It wasn't live.
Right.
It was about video game reviews and announcements. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like Funhouse.
Funhouse from what's Funhouse from?
It's a YouTube channel.
Oh, well, yeah.
They, I was about to say, what? Did you have another childhood?
I'm thinking like a Sesame Street or...
I mean, I didn't want to sound like, what? What are you talking about, boy?
We all know I missed some stuff in my childhood. We know.
Oh, man, the scooters, the parachutes.
we're still catching Ken up to 2020. It's okay, man. But G4 actually came out like early 2000s too, so it probably was a while ago where some of those shows like Cheat and they had
yeah, because it came out from G4 came from Tech TV when they did a
right movie. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it started out as a more technical stuff, you know, about computers, all that kind of stuff, and then it gradually shifted into G4, and then it became a lot more, I would say, I don't know, it trash TV.
It came more mainstream, but they thought it was going to appeal to people that anybody could watch it instead of just hardcore gamers. They wanted, it was like when MTV stopped showing music videos, they went more, you know, they did the same
towards
thing.
Towards the end, all this shit, they only marathon like Cops, like nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were trying to chase, what was that, Spike TV. Remember the Man Network?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They were trying to hit that area. So then they started cutting all the things that made G4 unique and that appealed to us.
It was.
And they just turned it into a garbage, trashy channel.
I mean, it was a show that you could just play cutscenes from different games. Like, that was something you didn't see on TV at the time.
Cinematech.
Yep. One. Yep. So
they used to play anime on there too.
They did play the anime on the show on the network. So we'll see.
I saw Gatekeepers.
Oh yeah. See, stuff that you wouldn't see before. It's like pre YouTube time too. So
you
go online and see anything you wanted.
Yeah. That's why I'm obsessed with that one. There's this phrase from Gatekeepers where they say gate open. And I am obsessed with saying that.
So G4 TV making a comeback. We'll see what it looks like. Hopefully they do. I think if they want to make it a comeback, they'll bring back some of the original people, because that's what makes G4 TV.
I would like to see Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb come back.
That would be cool. Actually, you really haven't seen them since they left the network. So a lot of, you know, so I would hope they try to bring them back.
Yeah, Adam Sessler, they played him off as kind of stupid on the show, but
they did.
Once he was out of the show, he actually came out as pretty smart. Like, he had a lot of good things to say about the industry and gaming and all that stuff.
Yep. So, you know, Olivia Munn, you know, she's pretty a big actress right now. And
yeah, she grew big.
Yeah, so, but it'd be cool. But, a little quickly, our Latreon update. Each week we've been giving our update on Monster Hunter on our... weekly woes of winning or losing against this fearsome black dragon that is giving us the business. But we have kind of a win and kind of a loss. We haven't beat them together as a foursome, but we did. Nick and I did beat them.
Crazy.
We did beat them solo. So,
Nick, hold up.
What?
Not everybody beat them solo.
Just Vic and I beat him solo with light bow guns too.
Light bow gun.
How many of them might make a light bow gun build then? You know what I'm saying?
Yo, that elemental build is actually pretty strong.
It is, especially with his Latreon's guns. So we're still working on beating it together, and we're not giving that up. So hopefully, maybe next we have another day of us beating him together. And
yeah, still building up that Kenny over there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kenny has found the top 10 overlooked RPGs. So we want to go through these top 10 overlooked RPGs. Kenny said he actually has three of them, and the three that he has, I heard of Baldur's Gate, but I think that's all.
That's not even one of them.
That wasn't one, right?
Where'd you come up with it? Kingdoms of Amalur was one.
Oh, is that the remake game y'all were excited about a few weeks ago?
Yes. I am hyped for that game. I need that.
Throwing names out there.
Right?
I was like, what?
It sounds right. Let me just throw it in.
Let me just throw it in there.
I'm giving you.
Who knows? It might be in someone's list because this was just a list I found on YouTube.
Yeah, because all lists are subjective.
Yeah, but it's true though because I've played maybe an hour or two of. Well, I played a lot of Kingdom of Amalur, but I played an hour or two of each of these games that I own on this list, and they're pretty good. But so it was a list by. Hold up, let me find a video. Game Ranks. You know, that YouTube algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
But so their list was Kingdoms of Amalur, Divinity.
This going backwards from 10?
No, they didn't have an order. They just said 10 games that they felt like was overlooked.
Okay.
So it's Kingdoms of Amalur, which was good. And Divinity 2 Original Sin, which is the other one I own. Mm-hmm. And then Dragon's Dogma. The only reason I haven't gotten far with Dragon's Dogma is I didn't realize how you got to be tactical with some of your engagements. I'm used to just going in and swinging, you know. And that don't work in this game.
Yeah, that game definitely has a cult following.
But yeah,
that's why I bought it.
Yeah, there's other ones I'm interested in. Is like I want to play Demon Souls because you know I played Dark Souls and Bloodborne too. Mm-hmm. But they had
that is not underrated.
I don't know why it was on.
Get out of here.
I think the guy said because he felt like it was overshadowed by Dark Souls. Who knows? But then there was Grim Dawn, and then Outward. Outward looked pretty interesting too.
Outward.
Yeah, it's like that Xbox one where yeah,
it's on Steam.
Yeah,
I was really interested in that last year, but
yeah.
There's a lot of
It was like mixed reviews, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like there's a lot of bugs and stuff, and then sometimes it doesn't.
Because it was like a co-op game too.
Yeah, but then the saving system between the two players was awkward too.
And then they have Kingdom Come Deliverance. They said it's like a Witcher without the magic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Battle Chasers, which looks pretty cool. It's like a dungeon crawler game. And Greedfall and Alpha Protocol. So I was like, oh, interesting list. I'm going to check these games out.
Underrated RPGs. So you sure Baldur's Gate wasn't on there anyway?
That is not underrated.
Thanks for listening to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
Talk right there.
All right, Kenny. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't want to be cheek to cheek.